Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. Today, I have a great guest on. I'm so excited that he's going to be on, and we're going to talk a little bit about what he's been up to, which is always a lot. So let's bring him on with not making anybody wait. So, David Icke, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Nancy.
Now, David, you've been very, very, very busy, and I know that, and you've been going all over the place. So some of the places that you have been lately, let's start with that. How has reception been? Have people been great? Have they been, you know, their own icky selves, or how have they been?
Well, the interest has been gathering very rapidly over the last few years. I've not been traveling much recently because I'm writing a new book, and that's taking me 9 hours a day. But when the autumn comes, the fall, then I'm going to be here, there, and everywhere in America, in Santa Fe, in Washington State, in Phoenix, in Athens, Gothenburg, Sweden, probably Zurich. I'm going to speak in Amsterdam as well. And that really is an indication of how people are beginning to look at the world in a different light. Because, you know, when I started out this this conscious journey 20 years ago, it was very, very difficult to get any interest in it. It was very tough to, you know, travel long distances and talk to a dozen, 20 people. But the challenge now is not that. It's dealing with the interest, which is can be very tiring because there's so many pulls at the moment, but in different directions, and I'm trying to fulfill all of them because it's so important to get this information out. But it's a much nicer challenge to have than what I had for a long time, which was people who really just thought the whole thing was crazy. We're starting to realize that we don't just live in a world that's a little bit not like we thought it was. We live in a world that is nothing like we thought it was. And as my research moves on, the more obvious that becomes, because the rabbit hole goes very, very deep, and we're going to be challenged to take on some amazing concepts in the while ahead, because what we think is the world, what we've been brought up to perceive is reality and the way things are, it is just an infinitesimal, tiny, tiny fraction of what's actually going on. It's not even the tip of an iceberg. It's smaller than that compared with what is there to be revealed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's so many lies, David, that have gone on, like you're saying, and they continue, and people are starting to wake up, but I think you're very right. You know, more are starting to wake up, but there's still a whole bunch of other ones who are sitting with blinders on and earplugs in. And, you know, they're going to have a really tough time as the truth finally and will be exposed as time goes on. And there's no way to get around that.
Well, I think in many ways we're seeing a parting of the ways, because there are those who are going more and more into denial, and they are trying to placate that with thinking that people like Barack Obama are the good guys, the cavalry who've come to sort out the problems, when he's fundamentally part of the problem. I mean, he's probably one of the most dangerous presidents in American history for two reasons. A, the time he's come into office, and B, the fact that he can sell a used car, he can sell a policy. And I see a lot of people who've focused on him, even people that should know better, to be honest, who recognize that there is a conspiracy, recognize that the major parties in different countries, not least in Britain and America, are actually controlled by the same force. I call the people that control the Republican Party, I call the neocons, the neoconservatives, and the group that control the Democratic Party, I call the democons. And the democons and the neocons are actually connected to the same force. And through that little pyramid there, you have the same people in the shadows controlling both sides. So elections are irrelevant, because it doesn't matter who you vote for, the secret government still gets in. And we're having this little period now, although I think it's waning quite rapidly from what I've seen, where people are throwing all their hopes and stuff at Obama. Well, I'm afraid that's a waste of time, because he's just another front man for the hidden hand. But there are people on the other side who are seeing it, and they're seeing it more and more clearly as it becomes, frankly, more and more blatant. You know, we're in a window of time now where that which has been hidden and that which has been manipulating below the surface has to break the surface if it's going to impose upon the world the changes in society and the structure of the world that it wants to impose. There comes a point where it has to break the surface if it's going to do that. And we're seeing that now. We're seeing this blatant rush for centralization of power, for more and more surveillance, more and more control, more and more military law enforcement, et cetera, et cetera. And so they are throwing at us, and there will be more to come. This is why we need to come from this from a point of view of consciousness, not from the point of view that we are Charlie Jones or Ethel Smith, because if we come at this next period from I am my body and I'm just a man or woman in the street, then there are serious challenges coming. We need to meet this by moving our point of observation back from I am David Icke to I am infinite consciousness, having an experience as David Icke. It's an experience. It's not who we are. And if we can come to this from that point of observing it and experiencing it, then we'll get through this much more powerfully than if we concede to, you know, I am my body and I am the reflection in the mirror. That's everything that I am. And it's important that we come from that point of view, because the challenges are going to be enormous. They want to, by they I mean this network of interbreeding bloodlines that are behind world politics, world banking, world business, world corporations, and all the rest of it. They want to introduce as rapidly as possible, because they have a time scale and they are desperate to meet it. I'm not completely sure why, though I've got ideas about why that is, but they have a time scale and they want to get this in place. A structure of world government, world central bank, world army, microchip people, and all the rest of it as fast as possible. And so the great way that they do this is this mind manipulation technique, emotional manipulation technique that I call problem reaction solution. Create the problem, get the reaction, do something, fear, outrage, then offer the solutions to the problems you've created. Now, we're seeing a massive one now with the swine flu scam, because that's what it is. It's just a massive global lie to get access to the bodies of everyone on the planet, ideally. That's the aim. So that's one. And another one is they plan to crash the economy again. I mean, we're in a kind of fool's paradise at the moment among people that think, oh, yeah, the worst is over. No, no, that's not the idea. The idea of the three-pronged economic collapse was A, to collapse the economy. This is last September. That tells everyone there's a problem. They want everyone to know that there's a problem. Stage two is to put your men who've created the problem, as Obama did with his appointments to his economic team, put your guys who've created the problem into government to offer the solutions to the problems they've created, which are hurling vast cuckoo land amounts of money, taxpayers' money, borrowed money, the problem, i.e. the banks overwhelmingly, and where has this money gone? It's just disappeared. I don't even know where it is. And what you're doing with stage two is emptying the barrels, if you like, of the government's ability to respond to this economic situation. You take them right to the point where they can borrow no more. And at that point, you crash the economy again. That's stage three. And this time, governments have no way of responding. And the idea is to have the banking system itself, or those who control it, to offer the solutions in league with the politicians they control to this global economic crash that they're planning. And that will be, surprise, surprise, we need a world central bank to centrally control all global finance if we're going to sort this problem out. And there are many problem reaction solutions that they're going to throw at us. Together. I mean, you could see this coming. It's in their own writings. And the idea is to get people in such panic and such fear that they basically give their power away to anyone they think can protect them from what they've been manipulated to fear and what the situation they've been manipulated to face. And this is why, I repeat again, it's so important that we come to all this from the perspective that we are infinite consciousness having an experience, and we're not the experience itself. That's not who we are. Because that will, A, give us a much greater perspective on what's happening, and it will also stop us getting caught in it to the extent that we're the people will, who think that, you know, they are their bodies, they are their names, they are the reflection in the mirror, they are Joe Public who has no power.
It's real important, David, I agree with you wholeheartedly, because my angels and everything have told me the year 2010 is going to be really, really bad. And I know everybody's talking about 2012, but there's a whole bunch more that is just there besides the ending of the Mayan calendar that's creating what my angels have told me is to be kind of a very turbulent time from 2012 to 2017.
I'll go with the 2010, no problem whatsoever. I think by next year, a lot of things are going to be moving, and the world is going to be in a very different state in so many ways to what it is now. And I also, I'd also go with something like 2017 too. I feel that this is the eye of the storm. But I am personally, although as I've been saying for years, we're going to have to go further down the road to tyranny. Before enough people realize they're on a road to tyranny to turn it back. It was always going to be like this, Nancy, because, you know, the vast overwhelming majority of people were not going to see it coming purely by just seeing it coming. So you could say, hey, you know, there's a volcano, a hurricane coming, or a volcano coming, or whatever. And people would say, oh, where's your proof? It's just silly. No, it's not. But as soon as the mountain explodes, or, you know, the wind gets up, suddenly they say, hey, there's a volcano, there's a hurricane. In other words, they have to see it to believe it. And so this, we were always going to have to go a long way down this road to this centralized global tyranny before enough people clicked what was actually happening. And everybody who has woken up to it early gives us much more strength and opportunity to do something about it. You know, because the more that wait, the longer it goes, the more difficult it is going to be turned around. So it's great to see now that so many people, compared with just a few years ago, are now involved in communicating this information, in getting it circulating, so other people who are watching the game shows and are completely unaware of all this can actually start to see it. The most important thing people can do at this time, apart from not having the swine flu vaccine, by the way, is to do whatever they can to communicate this information, put people onto websites, onto articles that can give people an insight, because the more who are aware sooner rather than later, the easier, or not easier, not going to be that, but the more people are going to be involved in turning this around rather than waiting until it gets even further entrenched, because it's moving by the hour now. It's moving so fast, and we need to move with it.
Yeah, a lot of people, I really think, David, are going to probably still be a little lost, but the ones who are actually starting to come out and have been starting to come out, I think we're going to be heard loud and clear, and I don't really think anybody's going to be able to stop us. I mean, like, they continue to try to stop you. Now, here's my thing with that. If they're trying to stop you, then they're pretty worried about something that you're saying or about to say, or people starting to finally believe because they can see something beyond their nose for a change. So that's actually a compliment. I know it's, you know, not really, but it is. Because that means that you have them running a little scared, and the people who, you know, are listening are starting to stand up. And I think that's very good.
Well, the only way that this can prosper is if people are in ignorance of its existence on a vast scale. And this is why we are in this window of opportunity where the dragon, if you like, has put its head above the parapet, above the trench. We can now start to see it, and therefore it's much more powerful for people. I know that from the exploding interest in my own work. It's much more powerful for people when they can see it on their television screens unfolding. They can see it when they read the newspapers and or go on the internet. They can see this state of Orwellian tyranny unfolding in all areas of our lives now. And so it's no longer a forward projection, a sometime over the rainbow, it's coming. It's here. It's just a question of how deeply we go into it. The direction that I'm coming from is I am infinite consciousness having an experience just like you are and everyone listening to this show is and everyone in existence is. And therefore, there's nothing that will make me stop doing what I'm doing. There is no level of intimidation. There's no level of fear. There's no level of anything that any force, no matter how powerful it thinks it is, can do to stop me getting up every morning and going on doing everything I can to communicate this information. And not only that, to gather more, because this rabbit hole goes so, so deep, like I was saying earlier, and there's so much more to know than we know at the moment. I said in a newsletter this week that I reckon those that the best researchers who focus totally on the five sense level of this conspiracy know about 10% of what's going on, because they're, you know, and good luck to them. And you know, we need that information to circulate. But if you don't open your minds to things that are beyond the supposed norms of possibility and what's happening, then you can't know much more than 10% of what's going on, because the 90% and probably even more than that actually lies in those areas that people with religious belief systems, scientific belief systems, whatever, won't go. It's so important that we research those areas, because not only does it lead to greater understanding, it's in those areas that the key lies, the master key to switching this whole situation around. We're not going to do it by protesting in the streets. That's just, I'm not saying people shouldn't do that, but that's still in the play out world of the holographic illusion, you know, this so-called physical reality that actually only exists in the form that we perceive it in our heads when we decode vibrational information and electrical information into a holographic, apparently solid world that seems to be outside of us, but it isn't. You know, for me, Nancy, by the time the experience hits that holographic level, symbolically, by the time it hits the movie screen, it's already a done deal. Because, you know, you're watching a movie in a movie theater, and by the time the film is projected onto the screen, there's no changing the movie. You just got to sit there and watch it. And that, for me, is what the situation is with this holographic, quote, five-sense physical world. By the time we're experiencing it with what we call the conscious mind, bravely call the conscious mind, often I have to say, it's a done deal. We need to change it at deeper levels. We need to symbolically go to the back of the theater and change the film on the projector, and then we'll change what is projected on the screen, i.e. what we experience as a physical experience. And to do that, to understand that, we need to get really, really deep into the nature of reality and how it works. Because if we don't, then all we'll be doing is running around understanding more and more about the nature of our own prison, and in many, many cases, standing there and watching it being built before our eyes, knowing it's being built, but being able to do nothing about it, because by then, as you're watching it in the holographic play-out world, it's already a done deal. So these are these deep, deep areas we've got to get into, and that's where all my life and all my research and all my experience is actually going now. Something's pushing me in that area so powerfully, because that's where the master key lies.
David, do you think that a lot of the children of today kind of already have this sense of what a disastrous period we're in, and they are having a very hard time with that energy as to the reasons why, quote, our doctors and our pharmaceutical companies have stressed the ADD, ADHD, and whatever else they're talking about?
Well, I think that a lot of children who have come in at this time have come in with certain encoded knowledge, if you like, which, if allowed to manifest, if allowed to express itself, to open, the codes to open, they would have a tremendously advanced knowledge and awareness than previous generations have had. I think this is an amazing time in so many ways. And, you know, people talk about indigo children and all this stuff. I think there are some amazing children that are arriving around this time and in the last few years. The idea is to target those children and to or target all children, really, but particularly those, to keep them asleep and to keep that encoding silent, to keep it undecoded, to keep it like a file on a computer that's not open. And so children are being absolutely bombarded from every angle with the chemical additives in food and drink, with electromagnetic and microwave pollution, with a dumbing down in the education system. In all these different ways, they're being attacked and suppressed. And this whole program of inventing often non-existent problems like attention deficit disorder, and then offering the solutions, which are what? They're drugs to rewire chemically the brain and the psyche. This is what much of this is all about. You know, and the ones with attention deficit disorder, I remember my own school days, I had attention deficit disorder. It was called being bored stiff with the nonsense I was being asked to believe and being asked to focus upon. So my attention deficit disorder manifested as me staring out the window watching the football games in the games periods on the sports field. And if I'd have been in school today, they'd probably be offering me Ritalin or something. And what they do is that they take these children who are seeing life differently, who are not seeing everything reality as most people see it, are instinctively feeling that the school system, I did so big time, it's still powerful. I remember it so much from all those years ago. I'm, you know, 57 now. But I can remember very powerfully just knowing when I was a kid, this is a nonsense when I was at school. This has got nothing to give me. I never passed an exam in my life. You know, I never read a book from cover to cover until I was in my 20s. I never read a school book, none of it, because I instinctively knew this is nonsense. And there are so many children around now, it seems to me, who are seeing that. And so they dub it some attention deficit order or what, and then they start prescribing drugs like candy to suppress these kids. And, you know, it's very important that parents do not take the official line and see their kids in the way that these guys in dark suits and doctors and whatever, psychiatrists and psychologists, are telling them they should see their children, and start realizing that the children that reject the school system instinctively are not stupid. They're the opposite. They're intelligent enough, having innate intelligence enough to see what they're dealing with, and instinctively know that it's got nothing to give them, which it isn't. It's not there to educate them. It's certainly not there to open their minds. It's there to indoctrinate them and sell them a belief system for life.
See, and that's where my school of now comes in, David. I agree wholeheartedly with everything you've said, and I've watched it, and I have a granddaughter who's 9 going on 30, you know, And I watched how she does. I watched her from the day she was born. And the things that they tried to tell my daughter that was wrong with my granddaughter. And I'm going, wrong, it is not. So for the last 5 years, I have really worked on putting together my School of Now, you know, using my 501c3, A Child's Miracle Mind, to get this going. And I came actually to New Mexico to find land, find the money, build a school and run it here because New Mexico is so much more open to things like how the kids should be taught and the things they should be doing rather than the antiquated systems that we have most of places. So I have a very tough time with, you know, watching how the school system in general is constantly, you know, keeping them abreast from the truth. And so I came up with my idea.
Well, it's a structure where ignorance begets ignorance, because you have a situation where to progress within the education system, you need to have the ability to take left brain information, which sees everything in terms of structure and hierarchy and language and all the rest of it. You need to be able to take in left brain information from your classes, your lessons, whatever, and hold it so you can regurgitate it back on an exam paper. And of course, the exam paper is not telling me what is true, it's saying, tell me what I've told you is true. And to progress within the system, you have to tell the system what it's told you to believe. Now, if you look at the way this works, therefore, to progress within the system, you have to be very, very good at passing exams doing what I've just described. You have to pass exams in a very successful way to become a teacher, to become a university lecturer, to become a doctor, to become a scientist, to become any of these professions. And so what the structure has done is turn out constantly what I call left brain prisoners, who then enter the professions of education, of science, of government, government administration, and medicine and all the rest of it. So the institutions that run society decide what is right, wrong, and what the norms are, and how the education system should be structured, how children should be taught, and what they should be taught, have all themselves come through this system and been turned out in its image. So it perpetuates itself. So you've got teachers and lecturers who've been through this system, so they see the world in a certain way, the system's way, and then they go about indoctrinating the children of the next generation in the same way they were indoctrinated. And what the system does is it's seeking out and searching out all the time anyone who is seeking to break out of that structure. And so try to be a teacher and buck the system. Try to be a scientist or a doctor and buck the system. The system's straight onto you. And who is representing the system when it jumps on those that are questioning the norms? The very people who have been turned out through this system to follow the norms, their colleagues and headmasters and university deans and all the rest of it, they jump on anyone in the structure that is not doing what the system demands. And that wonderful, wonderful film, Dead Poets Society, absolutely encapsulated what I'm saying here, where the Robin Williams character was the one who tried to buck the system, who tried to say that the kids in his class, think for yourselves, stand on the desk, look at life from another angle, and of course the system came down on him, and that was and kicked him out. That is happening, as you well know, in the area that you work in. That is happening all over the world every day. And that's how the system perpetuates itself. And if the system will not serve the people, then people need to walk away from the system and refuse to be part of it, because then the system will fall, because we're holding it together.
Mm-hmm. I have a perfect quote that I've been telling everybody, and it falls right in with what you're talking about, walking away. My quote is, if you keep your head buried in the sand long enough, you are going to get your butt kicked very hard. And when people hear that, they go, what? And I just think about it. Keep your head buried in the sand long enough, you are going to get your butt kicked really hard, because that is the only thing that's up showing above the surface.
Well, you know, I use that analogy as well, in the sense that I say, you know, you can put your head in the sand, but the hurricane's still coming, or the tornado's still coming. And if you lift your head, turn around, and face it, you can take avoiding action. But if you leave your head in the sand, then there's no avoiding action. The first thing that happens that you're aware that a tornado's coming is when you get smacked on the bum. And this is kind of symbolic, if you like, of denying that there's a conspiracy going on, denying the obvious as it unfolds on the mainstream media every day now as this Orwellian state moves in, denying it, and then rat-a-tat-tat, one day there's a knock on the door. Who can that be? Ooh, who's knocking on the door at this time of night? Yes, I wonder who it will be. But if we take avoiding action now and enter adulthood and maturity, face it together, Jew, Muslim, middle class American, black South African, together, then we can bring an end to this, because the number of people that are in full knowledge, in full awareness, orchestrating this centralized fascist dictatorship is a handful compared with the apparently 7 billion people on the planet that are being manipulated. You know, we can see a way out of this when you look at those figures, but only if we come together, we drop the fault lines of race and religion and conflict and manufactured divide and rule, and along with that, we actually do have the maturity to face it and realize that it ain't going away, and we've therefore got to do something about it. And if we did that on a major, major scale, and we stopped cooperating with our own enslavement, then the few couldn't impose this on the many. But they can, as long as we have divide and rule, denial, ignorance through can't be bothered to find out what's going on and all the rest of it, then it can be done. And it is being done because of that. But we still have the answer. But for how long are we going to have the answer? That's the other question. Because this is moving fast, and we have to move with it, as I said earlier.
Yeah, it's very important. I do want to make the announcement that, David, for you, that you have, and I want to thank you very, very much, have agreed to come to New Mexico, in fact, Santa Fe, New Mexico, October 11th, to do actually kind of a benefit for the Child's Miracle Mind to help us raise money to get the school going. And I want to thank you so very, very much. And I'm thinking it's going to be quite successful. And I think we're going to have a lot of fun. Even though I know you're going to be tired, we're still going to have a little bit of fun, because you need to have a little bit of fun, David, okay?
Yeah, I know. It's just that at the moment there's so many things going on, and more than anything, this new book, which is I am very, very keen to get out as fast as possible. That's why I'm working so much on it, along with everything else, because I can't talk about it now, because I want all the pieces in place and I want it all to come out together. But I've gone a long, long way down the rabbit hole in the last few months compared with where I was before, and it starts to make real sense of what's happening in the world, and to start to offer ways of turning that master key so that this nonsense comes to an end, because the answer does not lie in the play-out, holographic, physical world. It doesn't. It lies at deeper levels, but it does lie there. It is there to be turned.
When is your new book going to come out, David?
Well, probably early next year, because I'm going to have to stop and travel in the fall, for about 2 months or so, and then I'll pick it up again, but as quick as I possibly can. That's why fun times are on the back burner until I've done that, and then we can get a bit of a rest, I hope.
Do you have a name for it already?
Well, I've got a working title, but I think it's going to change because of the information that's come my way in the last kind of 10 days. So I'll keep that to myself until I've finally decided on it.
That's really good. You know, I know that you have a lot of information about the swine flu and the vaccination and all of that. But, I always have had a constant question as to the flu in general, because they tell everybody to get this flu shot. And to me, they don't even know what the strain of the flu is going to be, tell you to get this shot. And it makes no sense to me. It's, again, it's kind of a caught up thing. You know, let's get you there. Let's, you know, put something in you. And so I have a very hard time with the concept of a flu shot in general, not just the swine, but in general.
Well, I have a big problem with vaccines in general as well, because it's a scam. We have a fantastic defense mechanism for disease called the human immune system. And when that is operating to optimum efficiency and power, we don't get ill. That's the idea. You know, when your computer virus technology is working properly, it's very, very difficult for a computer virus to get into your computer because they're being taken out all the time before they appear on the screen as a problem. And when you, again, one of the things I've been saying for 20 years is what we need to do in all these situations is just take a deep breath, take a step back, and look at it again. We get so caught in these things that they become norms and accepted fact, or we accept absolutely nonsensical situations because we get so close to them we can't actually see that they're nonsense. We are now putting something like 25 vaccinations and combinations into the bodies of children before the age of 2, while that immune system is still developing, while the brain is still developing, and the human body is a chemical, electrochemical organism. So what you're doing is you are absolutely bombarding that chemical organism with a chemical cocktail of absolute horrors on the scale of 25 vaccines, and they're finding more reasons for more all the time, before the age of 2 years. Now what that's doing is going to war purposely, when you do the research, purposely on the human immune system, particularly of young people. And that is undermining that system for the rest of their lives. It will never be the same again because of the way it's being rewired. I mean, it's just, how is it going to cope with that? I mean, it's just crazy. My son, who's 16, has never had a vaccination in his life, never had a childhood disease. Not that a childhood disease is a bad thing, necessarily, because it triggers the immune system and is part of the process of activating it and bringing it up to full speed. The vaccinations are undermining that process. But what we're talking about now with this swine flu, which is not actually swine flu, it's swine flu and bird flu and human flu combined, because it's a laboratory concoction. And they've had many trial runs with scares, the SARS scare, then this scare, and the swine flu scare of 76, and bird flu scares. They've had lots of trial runs where they've just observed the reaction of people and scanned what was going on to perfect their approach for the one that was always coming. And I've been writing about this for years, where they justify a mass global vaccination, a compulsory vaccination for everybody. And that's what they're bringing forward now. And when you look at the, or any situation, and it is either blatantly unjust, blatantly stupid, or blatantly completely unjustified, or over the top, and yet they still push on with it, even though all those things are obvious, it's always the agenda. Because when you have rational thought and you look at something from that perspective and you act upon it, then that's one level. But when you ignore the obvious and still push on, then it's always the agenda being pushed through. And we have a situation now with this swine flu situation where you've got a virus which in the vast overwhelming majority of people is very mild. I know many people who've had swine flu, or what they've been told they've had it anyway. But very, very mild symptoms, day, 2 days, 3 days, gone. And yet the World Health Organization has responded to this with talks of a pandemic and tens of thousands of people, 65,000 deaths that they're predicting in Britain alone through the winter from this swine flu. And this global vaccination, crazy over-the-top reaction. You've got now shown that the drug companies that are producing this vaccine for this strain of swine flu actually applied for the patents a year, sometimes more than a year ago, when it didn't even come to light until Mexico, in April time. When you put all this together, it is the most blatant, manipulated attempt to get access to the bodies of everyone on the planet. And, you know, they're openly talking now about compulsory vaccinations. And this, again, when are we actually going to draw a line in the sand and say here and no further? Well, if we don't draw it over this compulsory vaccination and this mass vaccination, then we're never going to draw it. Because what is the a greater definition of fascism and tyranny than having no choice about what a state pumps into your own body? I mean, please. And we need to communicate this information to as many people as possible, and therefore vastly increase the numbers who are going to say no. The more they say no, clearly the more difficult it's going to be for any authority to push through the mass compulsory vaccinations. And it is pleasing to see, in my own experience in Britain and also my experience on the internet and whatever have you, that very, very large numbers of people are seeing it and are saying they're not going to conform to this. We need to get this information out to as many people as possible, because this is a very important point in this whole agenda. You know, you can't say this is going to be in it or that's going to be in it, but for sure we're talking about people who have no interest in benefiting humanity, who have a written down, documented agenda for the culling of vast numbers of people in the world, who are now manipulating access to everybody in the world. Put all that together, and this is a very, very, very serious situation which we must not concede to, and we must en masse, as many as possible, refuse to accede to any compulsory vaccination campaign. Because they're already saying, I'm putting stuff on my website regularly now, where school systems and colleges and universities are saying, everyone has to be vaccinated or they can't come. Okay, that's fair enough. Make whatever your law you like. You know what I'm going to react to that? I ain't coming. I ain't doing anything that means I have to have that vaccination, because this has been set up and prepared for a long time. And the World Health Organization is one of a series of bodies that have been specifically created, and most of them had world in their name, World Health Organization, World Bank, World Trade Organization, so on and so forth, to gather power from governments around the world and put it round one table or in one office. And the World Health Organization, because of the legislation that's been passed, is now a body that can dictate in certain circumstances, i.e. when a pandemic emergency has been called, and it's the one that calls it, by the way, to impose decisions upon world governments where they will say everybody has to be, in your country, has to be vaccinated. And so the World Health Organization, if it's saying it, then for goodness sake, you need to be very careful about doing what it says, because it doesn't have your best interests at heart. It's not been created for that. It's been created for the opposite. And as you come down the pyramid, you have the same force that controls the World Health Organization, controlling the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in America, and the same force, because of the way the spider web works, is controlling people like Baxter International and Novartis and GlaxoSmithKline and these drug giants who are producing the vaccine. It's the same force coming at you from different angles, and the only way to respond to it is to take your power back, to see what's going on, to see the signs, to increasingly see the obvious, and take your power back and say, no way am I acceding to what you tell me I and my children must do. And we need to do that in very large numbers. And we've got a few weeks, no more, to inform as many people as possible about this. It's not very important. It's absolutely crucial to heading this thing off.
Yeah, you know, the more people who stand up, trust themselves, believe in themselves, love themselves, are going to make all the difference in the world, I think, David. And that one word, love, we've somehow forgotten about that, haven't we?
Well, you know, you can get very easily pulled into the five sense realm of reaction. And that's why I said earlier on in this chat that we need to move our point of observation to the fact that we're consciousness and observe from that point of perspective. And we find it very, very difficult, in fact, almost impossible, to understand what love is within the environment of the play-out holographic world, because we are so disconnected at that level of experience from the magnitude of who we are, which is infinite consciousness, pure love. Not I love you, saw you down the disco, but a love that is beyond words. We just haven't developed the language for it. It's something you feel, and you only know when you feel it. And within a human body, even then, you feel a level of it. You don't feel what it really is. And when we come from that perspective, or we get closer to it, one thing that disappears is fear. Because fear is a manifestation of this whole crazy holographic reality. When you go into those states of, and you feel those states of deep bliss and what we call love, though it's doing it an injustice to call it love, given the way we misuse that word all the time, then fear disappears. And you do what you know to be right. Some people seem to think that love is something that's weak. Oh, you know, love ain't going to change it. Well, no, love you, you know, saw you down the disco, love you, darling, all that stuff. That's my level of it's not going to change it. But if we can go into those deeper levels of self and connect with those deeper levels of self, where that real level of infinite love, love without condition, is waiting for us to connect, then we can deal with this in a very different way. First of all, like I say, fear goes. So you do what you know to be right, not, what are the consequences for me. Real love, that deep infinite love, does not do consequences. It doesn't think what are the consequences of doing what is right. It just does what it knows to be right. Not even what it thinks to be right, what it knows to be right. And this world would change in an instant, virtually, if people just started doing what they knew to be right, rather than constantly making decisions based on what is right for me in the moment. Because that's the thought process that leads most people to make decisions about things happening in their life. what are the consequences for me? What are the benefits for me? Instead of what is right? What is just? What is fair? And what is right at this time is to get involved and is to put down all vestiges of thinking about consequences for me and just doing what we know to be right by all people. And when you do that, everyone else's injustice becomes your injustice. And if it's not, then all that happens is we get picked off person by person, group by group, until everyone's been sorted. It's like that wonderful saying from that pastor in Nazi Germany who said, first they came for the Jews, and I was not a Jew, so I did nothing. Then they came for the communists, I was not a communist, so I did nothing. Then they came for the trade unionists, I was not a trade unionist, so I did nothing. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak out for me. And this is happening now as different levels are picked off by the system, by the authorities, and other people look the other way and think, well, that's not my problem. Yes, it is. Because if one person does not have the freedom to express their views unimpeded without consequence, then no one does. Because everyone else's perceived freedom of speech is not freedom of speech at all. It's the, quote, freedom simply to have views within the parameters that the authorities have decided you can speak within. Because those parameters are immediately created once one single person cannot express their view without consequence. So what love does, it comes from a perspective of not me, not David Icke, not Ethel Smith or Charlie Jones. It comes from a perspective of all consciousness, all infinite consciousness. That's what it's coming from. So everyone's problem becomes their problem. Everyone's injustice becomes their injustice. Everyone's unfairness becomes their unfairness. And when we do that, when we come to these things in unity, then we can't be stopped. The few cannot control unity of purpose, unity of justice, unity of support, even if we're not directly affected ourselves. But it can and does control the opposite of that. What's in it for me? What are the consequences for me? That's not my problem. That's yours, mate. This is the way it's been done. And if we're going to stop it going on being done, we need to reverse the way that we've seen ourselves in the world, and we need to do it fast.
And really, it's so very, very important, David. We're actually almost out of time. Time just flies when, you know, you're having a good time, as they say. I have one question for you, David, before we go. And my question is, I know everybody is very nervous about the Obamas. I'm a little concerned about Michelle Obama. So can you just briefly make a comment, if you have one, about her part of the whole thing also?
Well, I think the two Obamas, Michelle and Barack Obama, are people that I wouldn't trust to tell me the time in a room full of clocks. I've talked about and written about this for quite a time now, before he became elected, that this was going to be a really, really bad period for America when Obama got in, because what they've done is create a problem-reaction-solution presidential style where they use the Bush years, the neocons behind him, to create massive problems of foreign wars and the economic collapse just before he left office. And the idea was always, because these presidents are brought and prepared long before they appear on the public scene. Obama was prepared to come in at this time and sell to the people the solutions to the problems that the neocons created and under the control of the democons that control the Democratic Party, which include people like Zbigniew Brzezinski, George Soros, and such like. And he is now there to, through the solutions to the problems, impose this Orwellian centralized state and destroy America as people have come to know America. That's the idea, to destroy America. They want an end of the nation state called the United States. They want an end to the dollar, and an end to everything that people have come to associate with America. As I've been saying for years, they've been using America to destroy America, and Obama's been brought in basically to front up, because he's not the one with the power, to front up the conclusion to that process of destroying America. And Michelle Obama is, I'm sure, very much a part of that. It's a challenging time. And like I say, we need to come from a point of view of we are infinite consciousness, because if we come from, you know, the identification with the body as who we are, then it's going to be a real, real big challenge to get through this.
Great. David, our time is actually up. I look forward to meeting you face-to-face October 11th here in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and thank you very, very much for taking the time to talk
with us. That's a pleasure, Nancy. Thanks very much.
You're welcome. Bye now.
Bye.